Hey, it's Herbert. Mm-hmm. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
I woke up this morning at 6 with her just staring in my face.
Are you going to be any more capable of, like, taking down a predator if you're, like, awake or just woke up?
This is the argument.
Right. You're like, the karate doesn't kick in faster.
The karate doesn't kick in faster is the name of your special. Eliza Schlesinger here. Would that ever be the name of your special or a special?
I probably wouldn't use karate just because it's, like, hacky.
Karate's hacky? Would you use taekwondo?
I don't know.
Why is karate hacky?
Like, just people, even though, like... People just being like, I know karate, even though I'm thinking about your line in the film, which is not hacky. It's very
funny.
Oh,
yeah.
It actually gets a huge laugh every time people hear it.
Does it?
Yes, it does.
Oh, yeah. You don't think I'm a black belt, I think is what I say.
Yeah.
Something. I don't expect you to remember anything.
I remember your line because it was your. It's the one big one. And we almost took out that scene.
Because I improvised it, I think.
Yeah, you definitely did.
Yeah. But by the way, I mean, did not need to. That's my first compliment.
Oh, thank you.
The writing.
Thank you.
There's a lot of compliments I have for you today, so get ready.
I'm very ready.
So there's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of TV shows. There's movies. I think the content, even on Instagram and TikTok, we were talking about with people being fired up about too aggressive of orders at coffee shops and people getting fired for putting those customers on blast. There's just a lot to consume. So
yeah.
I want to know after I throw all these compliments at you,
I'm ready.
How you feel about the oversaturation of stuff. But I think that good stuff can almost cut through more so because of it. You know what I'm saying? Because I think we're watching so much stuff, at least during the pandemic. I'm very selective now. And something has to like almost hit a certain checklist for me to go, yeah, I'm going to give my time to that.
Cream rises to the top.
There it is.
I'm made of cream.
Fuck. That was a way more condensed way to say what
no,
I said.
No, but it's true because even though there's more stuff, it's like, it's just... People's time is that much more precious.
Yeah.
It used to be there were four channels, three white guys with late night shows. Everybody watched.
Yeah.
And now there's still three white guys with
Hilarious.
Late night shows. But there's so much that I know something's good if I've heard about it more than once.
Yep.
Versus like a series with like eight seasons. And you're just like, I have no idea the network or what that is.
I know. Four channels. Isn't that crazy? What did you watch when it was a four channel world?
Grandma, what did you watch? Yeah. You watched Steve Allen. And probably, like, who's...
No,
like,
I'm saying you, as a kid.
Oh.
Eliza kid.
No, we had cable.
Yeah, really? But I feel like we had...
Nickelodeon.
Maybe it was, like, Nickelodeon.
There was no premium cable, and there were obviously no streamers.
Did you ever get, like, I don't know, did your parents ever put restrictions on what you could watch? Like, I couldn't watch certain Nickelodeon shows. There was a show called You Can't Do That on Television. My mom wouldn't let me watch that for a little bit.
Oh, man, that was the best.
It was the best. She finally let up once my dad left.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say your parents divorced.
Yeah.
Divorce, I think, is a little bit more like, you could just watch it.
Yeah, she's like, I need to do whatever I can to insert happiness.
Right.
So if that show's going to fill the dad gap.
Also, like, it was so harmless looking, the dad gap.
Yeah.
It
was harmless.
Don't remember not being able to watch anything, but I remember, you know, you have to go to bed at a certain time, and I had a TV in my room just because we had, like, there's a whole reason. It was, like, a really shitty TV, but I would turn it on very quietly so I could watch Martin.
I love that about you.
Yeah.
Those are two of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
I think I'm more influenced by black television than white television. No joke. Family Matters, favorite sitcom. In Living Color, favorite sketch show.
And what's great is that they were on at a time where you kind of weren't thinking about it in terms of black or white.
Yep.
And it's only later that you watch like Homie D. Clown or like Men on Film or like all these black sketches that were like discussing tropes and stereotypes. But at the time, you're just laughing at what it is.
Yeah.
And you look back and you're like, oh, this was all like deep social commentary on an oppressed race.
Totally.
But it was so brilliant.
I saw Damon Wayans work out at the HaHa when Living Color was going to do a reboot. And he was working out characters and men on film like bits. And it was so good. It was because anytime something is rebooted, I think there's always some trepidation of like, oh man, all right, is it past the prime?
I mean,
like
maybe,
even Dumb and Dumber, I walked out of because it's my favorite movie. And I was like, I can't watch them do caricatures of these iconic characters. They were too far removed. But Damon Wayans was just in the pocket and so good. And like the stuff that you realize too, there's enough good substance to talk about now, like with that character and that world of that sketch.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like sketch, like warmed over, reheated. Like there's, when you do it, you've got this passion and you're making a point and the world is just different now. And a lot of times I don't think those characters fit in. That commentary isn't as scathing and it's not as needed.
Right.
Whether it's him or other revamped sketches or comedy things. And so, you know, it's for a specific audience. I was actually talking to my husband yesterday about like how people just want IP. Mm. Like the, like Cruella de Vil, like the 101 Dalmatians universe, like the origin story of a woman who wears dog coats.
There's going to be five. That's so funny. There's going to be five more versions of this, by the way.
For sure. If like, it people crushes, like the universe. If it crushes.
Like, who's Cruella's kids?
Right.
There it is. Cruella's kids. Like Bebe's kids.
The idea of a universe.
Wow. There it is. The universe.
That's of anything.
Just keep peeling back the banana and how many other.
People just want that IP that was proven. And this is, I mean, Emma Stone's brilliant.
Yeah.
And I didn't see the movie. But just in general, like people want IP versus like taking a risk on a new idea.
Yeah.
Because then they can be like, see, they don't work.
Well, speaking of new ideas.
Speaking of new
good
ideas.
On paper.
Yes.
Which drops, give me the exact date.
June 23rd.
Great day. It's a week after my birthday.
That's why we did it.
Thank you for timing it out. Okay, so first of all.
Okay. You're my first interview. Awesome. I mean, I don't know when this is coming out, but you were the first.
Watch, your publicist times out, so it's like the last thing that drops.
I'm just a liar.
So obviously, we've been buds for a long time.
Yeah.
I think highly of you in many regards.
Thank you.
On and off stage.
Thank you.
But it's, first of all, when I'm just turning it on, I'm like, you have a Netflix movie that you wrote that you're starring in. That's fucking bonkers.
It's bonkers.
I hope that's not lost on you.
No, it's not, because
when it started, the whole opening, I was like, holy fucking shit. And I'm, you know, I'm watching it, you know, the free preview.
That we finally figured out.
Yeah. But it was just very, it was just crazy. Because also, you know, for me, I just get nostalgic about it. And I go, man, like, you know, I saw this girl when she came in to audition for an MTV sketch show that I was working at the casting office.
Right.
And now I'm watching her in her own movie. It's on Netflix. After she has four specials up there. Four?
Five.
It's okay. Probably about to be six. Maybe. Who knows? It was just crazy. I had to hit pause and like soak it in, honestly.
Oh, thank you.
And I hope you do.
You know, what hit me the first, because I've watched it several times and I was in that editing day and I oversaw every cut. Like I was very.
Didn't even think about that.
Precious of it. And we had our director and then she had her time with it. And then like per DGA rule, she had her time. And then.
Do you get to come in and veto things or.
Yeah. I mean, I think just as the creator and executive producer, and she did a lot of great work. And then I just kind of went, she couldn't get to everything.
Yeah.
You know, she did. You get in a rough cut, you get an assembly cut, your rough cut, and then she came in and did a lot of great work, and then I went in just with my specific thoughts and notes. So it was super collaborative. So I've seen it so many times, but the first time I saw it, this is going to, with the Universal logo at the beginning.
I forgot to mention
that. That hit me.
Cool.
Because that's not, it wasn't like eight production companies that came together to like cobble together $1.3 million.
Yeah.
Like Universal
stepped up.
And I mean, look, this is not a big budget film. But that was like
they put their
like,
name on it.
They did. And Netflix, when I found out, because I was like calling my producer every day, I'm like, who bought it? Because it was an acquisition. It's not a Netflix original.
Whoa.
And I was like, who bought it? And it was months. And I'm just like on them. I'm like, where's, and I'm just,
where'd
like,
you want it to go?
I wanted to go to Netflix.
Yeah.
And you never get the thing you want. You always get like, so Netflix is doing an incubator program. It's only on bus seats. And he called and he was like, it's Netflix. And I firmly believe in this career. You get only a couple of like, yes,
1,000%
releases. And every time you think you're going to get one, it's like, yeah, you know what? They're pushing your audition. You had it, but they closed. You get so few like guttural, like, fuck.
Where it's
like
locked.
Those.
Yeah.
And I lost my mind.
Good.
Because even if nobody watches it, a million people still see it.
That's Netflix.
Yeah.
Even if nobody sees it, a million people still, yeah.
Well, that's not true, as I found with my sketch show, or only a couple hundred thousand see it and you don't get a season two.
Well, hilarious. But hey, all right.
That's okay.
Yeah, you have
a movie
now.
We get a second for at bat. Yeah.
But having all those specials up there has to help with just the algorithm of keeping it. Also, these types of movies,
yeah.
You consider it a rom-com?
It's a rom-con. That's something that they came up with it. It's a romantic con, like you get conned in it.
Cool.
Like if Talented Mr. Ripley had like more love scenes.
Totally.
So it's a rom-con and we had a call with them. We were talking about, they were showing the algorithm and who gets, like who would be shown this. and how you end up tapping into groups that you didn't know you would.
You did, like, test groups.
No. Like, whatever you like.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It could end up, it is not just for, like, oh, romantic comedy. It also goes into, like, thriller. It also goes into all these other, like, branched out groups that you can't even conceive of until the movie drops.
Gotcha.
And it could be, like, all these different, like, subsects of categories. So it ticks a lot of boxes.
The twists were awesome. Didn't expect them. And that's what truly I dug. But what I dug right out of the gate, and I was texting you this, was, you know, anything based in the stand-up world,
yeah,
being biased, already just highly intrigued.
Oh, okay.
What'd you say? Hate? Oh, no.
I'm like, this is trash.
No, love. And it looks beautiful. And it was, you know, I think you shot everything at the store, right, stand-up-wise?
All the stand-up was at the store, in the belly room.
Looked amazing.
Thank you.
Like, special worthy.
That is, Kimmy Gatewood made it look nice. We made it look expensive.
Crush it, Kimmy. Yeah. But so that immediately, I'm like, okay, cool. But it was the perfect amount. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
It wasn't like... like the scenes outside of the club, in the club, the hallway. It was just like that was a backdrop that was properly served and utilized.
Thank you.
And then right out of the gate, it's, I think you have in anything, especially nowadays with just attention span being what it is, a short amount of time to like pull people in.
100%.
And, you know, me being, I think, and you're probably the same way. After you've acted a bit, you're definitely more critical of just performances in general. You know, you, but for also, I've seen you on a show, but like with this type of magnitude, bigger.
Definitely.
But I had no judgments. I had no like nerves. It just started and I was like ready to enjoy. And right out of the gate, I was like, oh, you've got Katherine Heigl, Kate Hudson, Schumer vibes, where I'm like, holding just, you're carrying the whole film.
I hope I have a line of athletic wear that I can
hilarious
make so much money off
of. Who has the athletic wear?
Kate Hudson.
Wow.
Fabletics.
Fabletics? That's her? I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I thought that was Demi Lovato.
Nope. I mean, she may have done something more. Anyway.
Wow.
But I'll take it.
And the writing was strong right out of the gate.
Thank you.
Which you wrote it, so duh. It was quick. It moved. The pace right out of the gate was great. Man. I have no notes.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I mean,
the acting was great. The Ryan Hansen, who plays the other lead opposite you, is fucking awesome.
We gave him fake teeth.
I saw that.
Because in real life, he's a good looking guy.
Yeah.
And like, you wouldn't not be attracted to him. You'd be like, okay. It's like a blonde, tall guy. And I was like, okay, well, give him glasses and big fake teeth. Like, just something that makes him off, because otherwise, the movie doesn't work if it's like he's handsome and she's not into him.
It was brilliant. Yeah, because there was some apprehension on your part, your character, to get involved.
Yeah.
And then what I really dug was, again, the comedy of it, first and foremost. Like, you know something's a comedy. People are going to be coming to it expecting that from you, right? Like, your fans and just people that watch it. Like, if it's going to be under the comedy category in some regard.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of that right out of the gate. And it looked great. I mean, even also, it's cool in a weird way. I'm like, oh, she got to shoot on a plane? Like, even that was so impressive, where I was like, legit plane shots?
Can I tell you something? There's a plane you can rent.
Yeah.
And we did it.
Airport too?
I don't remember now. I don't remember. I know we shot it. I mean, it's a real airport. It's the Ontario airport and this like wing that was closed down. I was so impressed by where our director and our producers, like where we spent the money. And like, I was so, like, the day we shot in that airport, I'm like, we're at a fucking airport. Like, we get a real airport.
Oh, yeah.
And that plane thing, I can't even remember because now it was like 2 years ago. But like, you got to put your money on the right needle drops and the right, and everything else can just be in an apartment.
Yes.
But like, it's got to look expensive in the right places.
Yes.
So I felt really good about that plane.
Did you? I have so many questions. How do you even start? And again, real quick, the twists in the movie are so unexpectedly great.
Thank you.
And I mean, can I even mention favorite lines or scenes, or is that going to give anything away?
Do it, and then we'll cut it out if it gives it
great
away, right?
There's one part where he talks about his mom being sick.
Yeah.
And you guess the type of cancer at the same time with him.
Craniopharyngioma.
And then you smile, and I start laughing. And then you're like, I'm sorry for laughing, but I played a doctor on a show, and I remember this. And it was such a, you know, a brilliant heart, heavy comedy, like boom, right at the same time.
Thank
where it was
you.
Like you cut through that but still maintained like the I'm not like discounting like your mom's cancer, I just also have to not it'd be rude of me to not acknowledge the fact yes. that I still remember that
I'm
shit.
I'm a comic and I got to put a joke here.
Hilarious.
Thank you.
There was a lot of those moments, and I think that, a lot of those moments, and that's what I loved, and I think that's what a lot of people are going to dig, is the amount of heart that's immediately balanced out with comedy.
That's the other thing, too. You know, you got to pick the tone, and like, that's a thing that I'm always like, when you pitch a movie, you're like, tonal comps, and then you tell them the movies that it's similar to, and you kind of don't know until you go, like, until you start writing it, and you get in there with the acting, and the way I write, you got to find the honesty and the heart, which was why... And this is a true story. Yeah. This man did lie about his mom having cancer.
That's what I'm going to ask.
Oh, yeah.
This whole thing is loosely based on...
It's a lie mostly based on a true... I'm sorry. It's a true story mostly based on a lie. That's what we've been saying.
Wow.
And I can't say it's a true story because some of the stuff doesn't happen toward the end, but that is all very based on a real thing.
On you being involved with somebody that maybe you weren't normally going to get involved with, and then you got taken for a ride.
Got taken for a ride, and, you know, in writing this, because it started out as something cathartic, but there's no pain there now. Like, this isn't something I would ever cry about, and I consider myself a pretty healthy person. Like, it's super processed. Like, I'm married. Like, I had boyfriends before him. Yep. Like, it's not a revenge thing. I don't care if this person ever sees this movie. This isn't like, I get the last word. This is about being an artist and about going through something traumatic, which it was, and then turning it into something positive to work for you.
Which is the benefit of what we do, I feel
which
like.
Which is, especially through. As a stand-up, getting up there, somebody hurt me, and then you make light of it.
Yeah, and you're almost over it that night.
Almost over it, and it feels good because people are laughing with your pain and at your pain, and what I got after I shared this story the first time, and the more I talked about it, more people were like, that happened to me, with the exact same story. I've even talked to a woman who dated this same person.
Holy shit.
Like, he was just a total psychopath. And I actually don't mind that it happened, because you can't go through life thinking suspicious of everyone. It isn't like the lie was something you would think to check someone on. Like, if you told me I went to Ralph's yesterday, why would I verify that?
Right.
Why would I verify that you went to USC?
Don't have time for that.
You know, it's not like you said you went to the moon.
Right.
And I also... You know, there's always this...
Neil Armstrong, by the way, spoke at my graduation. That's a weird thing that you said.
That is weird.
Yeah.
That is weird.
Yeah. And he got up there and he goes, I went to the moon. Good luck topping that shit, cocksuckers. And I'll, like... And
wow.
Then, yeah. No, he didn't.
He's really blue.
Yeah. They crushed.
he really had to top going to the moon in his own speech.
Yeah.
There was also, you know, as I was writing it, there's always this need that, like, a woman gets taken down a peg. There's always, like, a journey, right? Your main character, you always want, like, and how do they come out at the end? And I was like, you know... I don't believe she needed a correction. Like, yeah, she might be jealous of another girl. This is all in the movie as backstory. But I think I wanted to create a character where maybe right off the bat, you're like, I don't know if I like her. And then you wonder, like, do you not like her because she's strong? And I know that I've been critiqued for that. And I'm like, I just showed up and did my job. Not all women need to be taken down a peg. Not all women, like, made a mistake in love. It's like, no, you went to it with open eyes and an open heart and you got hurt. But I wanted to kind of create a woman that I didn't feel that I had seen and that was very true to what I wanted to write.
Yeah, I don't feel like I've seen this version of a gal being portrayed.
She's like, not a mess. Like, a lot of times it's like, sorry, I was in my mouth.
Yeah.
Let me put it back.
Sorry, we'll cut this out.
It's always like, she can't get her act together. Yes. And I was like, I've always had my act together.
Yeah.
I've always paid for everything, had my own home. So this wasn't like...
I like that you stayed true to that and didn't want to, like, kind of cater to the...
Yeah.
Did anyone try to step in and be like, you know, like, the movie will... People like to see someone a little more disheveled at the get-go.
It's always that. It's always the girl falling into a bush, dropping her coffee. I was like, I'm not clumsy. Like, I'm not a ballerina, but I'm definitely not... As an adult, when's the last time you fell?
Right.
Like, you'd be in the hospital.
Yeah.
And we definitely went through... Before we got our director, you know, I went through several rounds of notes with another producer. And it's funny because all the changes I made with that producer, when she left the company, everything went back to the way it was.
Whoa.
And Kimmy came in and she was like, what about this? And I was like, that is the way that I fucking had it. So we went back and did it so that she is... I didn't want to make her like, I'm just a struggling comic, because it's so relatable when a girl's like, I'm trying to piece my life together. It's like, we've seen it. We've seen the struggling waitress. Yeah. We've seen the girl that walks dogs. We've seen all that. I'm like,
isn't it more inspiring to see the one that's like just trying to build on what's happening?
Or that's where I have been, where it's like, you're kind of in the middle. You're doing fine by all accounts. You're not where you want to be, but you'll never be where you want to be.
Nope.
And women never get to discuss that frustration. It always has to be like, I just can't be a star. Instead, it's
until
like,
I
no,
meet the right guy.
That or like, I'm just trying to get ahead. And it's just like, she's in the middle of it. And I think there's something to be said for this story is not about a girl who's frustrated and life isn't working. She's kind of just doing whatever. And, you know, it's okay that you date like hot guys who are dumb. Then it's the idea, like, should someone be able to take your right to choose away from you?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like subtopics, I guess.
I like that you took your time too with like making a choice to go after this person that maybe wasn't someone you ever thought you would spend time with. And is that something that girls think about a lot? Like, how often are girls, I don't want to say settled, but like, because Ryan's character, who you end up getting involved with, you know, you had all these apprehensions about it. How often are girls doing that and then finding and then spending more time and then going, you know what, like maybe I should. I mean, I've heard girls say, whether it's in movies or life, be like, my therapist said I should date out of my comfort zone.
Right.
Is that how often is that going on in a gal's mind?
I think it's, you know, as you get older, of course, it's not that you have to lower your standards, but and I talk about this on stage, but like they're negotiable.
Gotcha.
Like, I remember when I met my husband, I was like, I don't want to date a guy who has roommates because I owned a home and like, I don't want to come out of your room and there's like dudes there.
Yeah.
I didn't want to date a guy that had kids. This is at the time, you know, and I met him and he was like, I live in a house with two of my best friends. And I told
him. They're 14.
And I was like, I don't want to go out with you. And it wasn't about negotiating standards as much as I like didn't talk to him for a couple of days. And then I was like, okay, like Jody Miller, our friend, was like, give him a chance. And what I found out was he was like, I totally could live on my own. What you want is a guy that's financially solvent. That's what you, if you're a successful woman, like I don't want some guy.
I don't have to worry about him.
He was like, I could live on my own. He goes, I just work crazy hours and it's very comforting to come home.
Totally.
And cook for my friends. And when he explained it that way, I was, so it's less about.
It's way more endearing.
It's endearing. And I was like, oh, that's a good answer versus like, I can't get my life together at 35.
Yeah. But you needed to hear him say that. And hopefully he took the time to break it down like that.
And then everything was perfect. But yeah. I do think with girls, you know, we're often asked, look, you don't find him attractive, but just see if he's nice. Men are never told like she's a wildebeest, but just like her heart. It's always like, she's not hot. I got to go. They can't do it.
That's so funny.
That's the kicker is the dude wasn't hot, but I really became attracted to the personality, which is the thing you should be attracted
1,000%.
To, despite them being hideous. So it really was. That was the kicker at the end of the movie. I'm like, all the things I liked about you were all the things you didn't lie about.
That was great. You had a fucking Al Pacino courtroom scene. I
no!
mean, it's awesome.
I felt so fat that day.
Get
Rebecca Rittenhouse is so beautiful that when I would be around her, I kind of like, I was like, oh, I see now why men reach out and grab women. I want to grab her face and kiss it.
Fucking
hilarious.
And
I'm not attracted. Like, she's so stunning. And I'm there in like an outfit I put together, like trying to suck everything in. And she's just so gorgeous and smart and lovely. And I'm just like, I'm the lead. I just felt like such a beast. But thank you.
That's a good soundbite for your next for next press is I get the Me Too movement after I hung out with her.
I know. But I would talk to her. I would just like, I'm like, how can I touch her face without offending her? How can I grab her butt? She's so pretty.
No, you crushed it. You look great in all the scenes.
Thank you.
And I know how... you know, you dig a good wardrobe change, and you had quite a few good looks, right? Was that fun?
I'm not a clothes, but that was costumes. I was like, look, I don't want to wear anything weird, nothing too tough.
Well, like in your specials, you're always dapper, and like it's always calculated, and like, you know.
You got to go out for a special, but for this, I was like, let's not.
Keep it movie appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in like black boots. Like it's like a tough outfit because there is, you have to consider when you're picking the outfits, like what do you want to be running around in for a majority of the film?
Oh, yeah.
Those jeans were very tight. I also ate a lot of grape nuts. Like it was like a stress thing. I would eat like 4 bowls of grape nuts a day on
set.
And there's a scene with churros and Rebecca, of course, because she's like a trained actor knew, fake eat. And I ate 4 churros and like between takes, I was just finishing them. And
how'd you feel?
I felt pretty good about that. I felt pretty solid. Yeah.
Wait, what's the fake eating? Just like bite, chew, don't swallow?
Yeah, or spit it out.
Gotcha.
Yes. And I was just like, no one else finished their churro.
That's amazing. Okay, so when you finish writing it, is it just like, done, send it off, like, let's make this shit? Or is it, how many people in your world get to chime in? How many do you let chime in?
Yeah, that's
and
a tough one.
How long does it take from finishing it to actually getting it to?
Okay, so I looked this up recently to see. So I had this idea, and I'm pretty.
You were talking about it on stage. Is that how it even started to get going? Or stories to? Was it a story to a friend, where like any bit you're maybe organically dropping to someone where you see them laugh and you're like, oh, maybe I could take that to stage. That story seemed to hit with you. Like, did it happen like that? Or?
So this is one of several screenplays that I've just worked on quietly.
Cool.
You know, I believe, I hate that this is a quote for Under Armour, but it's what we do in the dark that helps us shine in the light. And I wish it wasn't like an
Under Armour's quote.
I'm pretty sure, or they've co-opted it, used it for them, but I'm pretty sure.
Dude, if they don't send you a full workout attire for that
full
plug.
Full water-wicking Gore-Tex for my 30 minutes of cardio that I do. For my arena football team.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting in my condo at the time and writing this. Now, no one taught me how to. And I've had, you know, other projects, whatever. And every time you write a screenplay, it gets better. So I just started writing it on my own. That is the biggest thing that nobody tells you. I mean, I don't know. Nobody adheres to is you don't ask for permission. You just do it. People are looking for ideas. And if you can actually write it versus like, I got an idea, just write it. Nobody wants to hear about it. They want you to write it. Because at that level, no one's going to pay you to write it. So just write it.
Also, don't get in your own way. Why would you try to like get anybody else's thoughts that would like cock block any sort of creativity, right?
Yeah. Just let it pour out.
Yeah.
So I started writing it and I told my manager about it. And then I remember this very clearly. I was in Boston. I was playing the Wilbur and my manager said, there's a producer that, you know, however they set it up, named Paul Burnin. His company's called Burn Later. And they've done a couple of like indie films. And he'd like to meet you. And I'm like, great. And I looked him up and I was like, oh, he's hot. Okay, I'll put in my fake hair.
Hilarious.
Even though I was, I think, dating Noah or engaged, I'm like, always best to put your best foot forward.
Yes.
Put in my fake hair and I go downstairs. And he and I just hit it off right off the bat. And it got very personal, like just talking about our personal lives.
Cool.
And I, you know, just really got along with each other. And I told him my idea. And he was like, I like the idea. Let's do it. And I was like, okay. And then I went into my shows. And that set into motion about a year, because he has a producer that works for him, of she and I going back and forth.
Okay.
Writing, rewriting, taking out things, you know. And I kind of had my way that I wanted. And she was great.
I was going to say, are you pretty easy to collab with?
I love collaborating. Cool. I know everyone says that. But I always want to work with people who know better. Versus like another funny person. Like if you're good with structure, I want to know. And if you've got experience, I want it.
Yeah, because what's your forte? Like for me, like I'm trying to finish one right now. Dialogue and jokes, boom. And characters, mm-hmm. got it down. Structure, yeah. story. I have a handful of buddies that are like, in a movie, this needs to happen. You need
totally.
This, you need that. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Had no fucking.
But then you'll write another one and you'll remember that. Which, and then yeah. the more that you read to you. So it really is just a practice thing.
Yep.
To make the perfect film as we have here. So we go back and forth. And then one day I remember sending her an email. Like she just wasn't writing back. And then I called Paul and he's like, oh yeah, she doesn't work with us anymore. And I'm like, cool. Thanks for the heads up. But we'd gotten the script to a good place. And this just takes, it's just the machinations of this industry are just very slow.
Yeah.
Unless you are Meryl Streep or Emma Stone, yeah. right? You're just, or Will Smith, right? Yeah. You're just going to do it. Even that, like it's still, things
totally.
Take time.
Yep.
So I'm always relieved to find out it's not personal to just me.
Good.
Had this script and then we got this meeting with Universal and they had at the time like an indie sort of film division and they were excited about it.
Cool.
So Universal signed on and that, so you got that, you've got your money and however they're doing it, whatever. You got Universal and then we got to find the director, you know, and for me it was like I want someone who knows what they're doing. This isn't an experiment. I met Kimmy Gatewood and she was super passionate about it. I'm one of those people, like I'm very prepared for meetings. What I lack in experience, I always make up for in enthusiasm.
Totally.
And like stick-to-itiveness. Yeah. It's like, how can I get this gig? And she had directed a lot of TV and she got it. And it wasn't like, I need to find a woman. Only women can do this. But she got the job just because she was good. I'm not the kind of person that like, if a guy was great, he would have gotten it, but she was great.
Was she a fan too? Does that help?
I don't remember if she, I mean, everyone says they're a fan, but like that could be that they just watched.
Yeah.
A thing,
but it helps, you know? Right? She needs to like have a sense of your voice. And
has
like
a sense of my voice. And it doesn't matter if they're a fan, as long as you get the voice in the moment. So she was that. And then she, of course, from there helped. We offered the part. I saw Margaret Cho as this and then we got Ryan on board and everything else just kind of clicked. And then I have this producer named Han who works with Burn Later, and he was great. Just over. So it just all, I mean, but this is like 2 or 3 years from the day I pitched it to him.
Wow.
You know, just like, is this going? And it started to, you could see it on the horizon. And then we shot this now 2 years ago. It was in the fall. And I remember because we stopped down for Thanksgiving, and I remember we wrapped at midnight, and at 6 a.m. the next day, I was on a plane to Montreal to film Pieces of a Woman.
Yep.
So I went from like being like number one on a call sheet to like, yeah, number four on the call sheet, but like it was not my film. Like one was mine.
Kind of cool though, right? Less pressure.
Less pressure for sure.
But had you gotten so used to...
No, it wasn't
grape
the power
nuts,
thing.
Please?
No, it was, I mean, although they did like French hours too. So there's like a lot of French food.
Yeah.
Just very different experiences. It was kind of cool to like leave one set to go to the other.
Totally.
You want to be like, just so you know, I just came from a movie.
Fuck
like,
yeah, that's the dream.
And then we, you know, it takes time to edit and color correct. You got to find your editor, just the way these things work. And then it's waiting. It's waiting to see who's going to buy it. And your fingers are just crossed. You're like, please don't just put this. Like, just don't put it out there. Please don't, like, package this with, like, 8 other shitty movies and you can buy it, like, at 7-Eleven on DVD.
Oh, yeah. there's a chance for that, right?
I mean, that's the way a lot of things go, and it's whatever. And there are great actors who don't get their movie sold, and they pulled it out. Netflix liked it, did it. And
you can't teach patience. Like, you just saying that it was 2 to 3 years from when you pitched it that it got... that you guys got back on the train to start putting it in motion?
I can't remember if it was 2017 or 2015, but what I do remember is this. I'm in the lobby of the hotel where I was staying in Nashville to record my 5th Netflix special, Unveiled. And it was like, we were doing like a dress rehearsal, and I got a phone call that said our funding had fallen through. Because you have Universal, but you also get your money from, like, in some cases, like VC firms or whatever. And the money fell through.
Oh, man.
And I was just like, why wouldn't you tell me this after I filmed this special? Like, I'm going to do my job. Like, why? Like, on your way out to battle. It's like, by the way, no one likes you.
Oof.
And I was just like, we need to find the... However, and that is on them as the producers, and they figured it out because they're great at what they do. But I remember that feeling of like, oh, that's right. Nobody cares about your feelings as a performer or as an actor. Like, they'll just pile that. Nobody protected me from it. Just this horrible news of this about this boulder you've been pushing uphill. They're like, oh, the boulder's gonna fall back downhill and you got to start from scratch.
Fuck.
By the way, go be really funny now because it's gonna live forever.
When you break it down like that, it's so crazy that we're doing this.
Yes. Did like, you? Yeah.
Did I what?
Have you seen that show Hacks?
I'm on it. Well, next week.
Okay. Okay. Because yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Yeah. I love
her
it.
Speech.
It's incredible.
Jean Smart's
by the way.
Speech in the desert. Yeah. Nothing has ever hit me harder. She's like, even if you have luck and you have talent, it's still not enough. And she's like, and it never, ever, ever gets easier. And I was like, it doesn't get easier.
Yeah.
No more, nobody's nice.
Great, right?
So good.
How do you?
I'll be watching you.
Yeah, next. I think it's 1 or 2 episodes. I play a douchebag comic, filmed at the HaHa.
Oh, I can't wait.
And
oh, that's unfortunate.
I have these amazing scenes with Jean Smart, all of them, and Hannah Binder, who's crushing it. But Jean is a fucking treasure.
I'm trying to get her for another movie. I've loved her since she was the girlfriend on Frasier.
Good call.
That was my intro to her.
So good.
She's so good.
From Seattle, so we bonded over that. Went to high school, was close by, did a lot of theater there. But she just was, it was just great scenes where I'm just this douchebag comic mm-hmm. that's kind of shitty to this old vet coming in and like, don't fuck it up.
Wait, a male comic isn't nice?
Hilarious. There's a handful.
There's a handful.
Yeah.
But not worth mentioning.
Hilarious.
You're like, cool, let's move on.
Yeah, yeah. Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Quick question for you. Do you know that 85% of people, that's right, 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? I know a lot of comics who play fantasy sports. And yeah, their stories more often than not are about how they made the wrong picks and lost all their rent money. And how they need to borrow $50,000. Is it really that surprising, though? No, the game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention fucking experts, people that just have more tools and more knowledge and more time than you do. You don't stand a chance. Well, I've got the daily fantasy sports book that's right for you. Introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts you, the player, in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you... Here's how it works. It's Very simple. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and then dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. Your name, your stakes, winner take all, baby. You have the advantage here. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. The amount of other sports bookie sites I've fucked with and heard about and have friends participate in and make money and lose more money, it makes Stat Hero the obvious choice because they're giving you the advantage of seeing the house's lineups and taking them on straight up. You are in total control. Stat Hero is the way sports betting was meant to be, one-on-one. So play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lastnight, sign up for free, and right now you can get 3 times back on your first play by signing up right now at stathero.com/lastnight. So go to stathero.com/lastnight. They're even going to give you a 300% match. That's unheard of right now if you go to stathero.com/lastnight. Start betting on the sports that you love the right way, okay? Because I know you're tired of getting killed by daily fantasy sports experts. Don't play the experts. Play the house with Stat Hero, the only sports betting site that gives you multi-day fantasy survivor contests for all sports all year long. See the competition ahead of time. Pick the lineup you think you can beat. Go head-to-head with no pool of opponents. Because no matter how you play, there's a contest for you. So stop wasting your money and give yourself the best shot at winning with Stat Hero. StatHero.com/lastnight. Do it, baby. I'm always fascinated by people at your level that do so much and continue to like challenge themselves on all fronts. Where do you get that from? Is it always, because I'm sure people would like to hear, you know, the adversity and the struggles to maintain like your own self-motivation. I know I deal with, because like you just said, like nobody cares. It's once you can wrap your head around that and be like, if I don't, like, it's only on me, like, you know, whether it's dealing through reps or even family, it's like, you know, sometimes I'll share something with my sis or dad or mom and like their reactions vary. So then sometimes I'm like, ah, fuck it. Why am I, sharing I got it. So excited to tell them. And then they're just like, oh, it doesn't really that, not that cool to them. Or maybe they're dealing with, you know, my sister's like, hey, like, you know, the kids are doing this. So fucking congrats. But like,
I'm raising a life over here. That's exactly. You got a call back for Wendy's.
Exactly.
Well, they don't have, it's not their fault. Like they don't understand the world.
1,000%.
Just like we don't understand.
But then it just makes you go, oh, like truly all of the, it just all rests on you all the time.
All the time.
That can get so overwhelming. And especially during COVID, like how did you, I know you kept yourself busy, but did you have times where you were like, you know, I'm going to shut it down and like take a beat because this is probably, you know, pending another panty, but like...
Pending another panty.
Pandemic.
Panty pending. I know.
Panty pending.
Panty pending.
Hashtag panty pending.
Your tour is panty pending.
Oh my God. But you know what I'm saying? Like, did you initially, I guess I'm just going back to the start of the pandemic for you. Did you welcome it with open arms going, I know a handful of people did that, you know, are as busy as you that were like, fuck yeah, like I don't have to be anywhere or answer to anyone right now. But then how long does that last before you're like, I got to take advantage of this downtime because a lot of people aren't.
I remember this specifically. There was an article, I want to say it was like the New York Times. I also want you to know that sometimes I read the New York Times.
What's wrong with that?
No, I want you to know. Yeah. Like, I get it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're a big crossword gal.
I'm a big crossword gal. Like, I don't know if the New York or the New York Times, but it was some publication and it was just like, and then this was like a common vibe online, like in meme posts, just about, and like self-affirmation posts, just about like, hey, you don't have to get everything done. Like, it's okay. You don't have to write the next novel. Like, you don't have to be productive. Like, giving people permission to sort of breathe. And I swear, I remember reading one that was like, you don't have to write the next great novel. And I was like, you don't. While you all tell each other to, like, take a breath and relax, I am going to be fucking locked and loaded and, like, ready to fuck when this thing ends. And that was what got, I was just like, I will take this time in this darkness while everybody else is like, I don't know, and I'm mourning this. I was like, I will be right. Like, I will be ready.
Whoa.
That way I'm ahead of everyone. Because don't ever make the mistake of thinking that, like, everybody's taking a knee when you are too. And just because people complain about stuff, that audition, that whatever, like, they're still going. Like, just because you're all complaining together, like, don't think that people aren't still working.
Yeah.
And so
don't feed on the assumption that people are like,
are also just taking a break.
Yeah.
You can take a break. What's a break? Like, a couple days off to chill. You know what? It's very hard for me to not work. And I did not do, it's a Saturday night and I didn't do my sets for a lot of specific reasons. But I found myself getting so overwhelmed to the point of paralysis with stuff. And that doesn't happen to me often.
What does that mean again? Like paralysis. That's like you can't move. You shut down, right? Yeah.
Like sometimes you just give yourself a break. And I always have to remind myself, like, you're doing fine. It's okay to not do this one set out of like a lifetime.
Easier said than done, by the way.
It is easier said than done. But like in the pandemic, you know, the movie was finished. So it was just a lot of me. And then people were leaving companies and people were getting fired. So it was just a lot of me like checking in on that. I really think the secret to not going crazy is having enough projects, whether in nascent stages or fully developed, that you can constantly check on to feel productive.
Yep.
That way you're not just like staring at your hands on the toilet like, what have I done?
Which is also fun.
Which is fine.
Did you reconnect with anyone through COVID? Did you strengthen any relationships or find yourself reaching out to people? You know
myself.
What I'm saying?
Myself.
I love that.
Relationships with myself.
I love that. And what'd you discover about yourself?
Look, I think you got your good friends and your friends know you. My friends know, like, I don't make plans. And if you can come to my show with me and we can go out after, great. But I'm not going to your bachelorette party. I'm not. I also don't have friends that are getting married at this age. I work and it's my favorite thing. And there was no, you know, you text with people. It was nice to like FaceTime our parents. We're like getting drunk every night, whatever.
Yes.
But my husband and I, we both like, we started a cooking show.
Yep.
And we did that really just because as a performer, like you want to perform.
Mm-hmm.
And we just started doing it and it kind of became its own thing. And my husband got a cookbook deal with Knopf.
Who's that?
It's like a premier publishing house.
Cool.
Like they usually do a lot of like very bespoke, like I think it's biographies and stuff, but they do cookbooks, like beautiful cookbooks. And it was the company he wanted and he wanted to do his own cookbook. And they said, would you do a Don't Panic Pantry cookbook? So had we not done that, like that version of it, like he may not have gotten that.
Everything begets everything.
And it was just like, we didn't ask. People were like, why don't you have a show on a network? I'm like, because I don't have time to wait for them to figure out that I should have this. So we're just going to do it. We, on our own, would sit up at night. I'd say, what are the brands that you like to work with? Because we're very like honest people.
Yeah.
And we would reach out to those brands and I'd say, here's our show. Here's what we do. Here are our tiny numbers. Would you like to sponsor us? And people started saying yes.
Cool.
And so it's, you know, you
set up a plan. You ask.
We just did it.
Because if you don't ask, you don't get. And you know, that's, again, like just a very, not a, brain surgery type approach where it's like, all right, have an idea. I can execute
it. Just do it.
Get a plan and just Nike it.
Or just go for it, because most people don't even do that. And they talk about it a lot. Just do it. Even if it doesn't do well, at least you have something, some sort of proof of concept. And then we took a trip and I was like, I really want to write another book. And I came up with the outline. He proofread it, of course, because I can't do that. I'm bad at it. And I got a book deal. Like this isn't at a certain level of fame. Like whatever you want to do is going to be successful. Like if you're famous enough, like if Will Smith put out a water line, you know, that's going to be a popular water. Like success begets success. But at this level, and I'm seeing this now, like it's constantly like, what else can you do? How can you prove that you, like we're past the come do stand up stage.
Yeah.
But we're not at the like, whatever you touch is gold stage. So it's still constantly like, and how else can you prove that you deserve to be here?
Do you want
to
be Reese Witherspoon?
In like having my own production company?
That and like, I think the Midas Touch type.
Sure. I mean, you want everything you do to be great. I'm sure Reese has projects that she's looked at and she's like, that wasn't like my favorite thing.
Maybe I shouldn't have recommended that book. Maybe The Chosen wasn't a good one for kids.
The goal has always been to be able to create on bigger and better levels on my own terms and not have to wait for someone to say yes. You always have to wait for someone to say yes in some regard because you can't be your studio and distributor and all your viewers.
Right.
But the idea that like if I say I want to do something that someone will be like, yeah, we'll buy that. And it's not as painful and it just takes a lot of work. And I think this movie is proof of concept, right?
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun to make.
I also haven't seen, you know, again, to go back to like the twists and how just seeing it not like go perfectly for the lead, you know, and like see you get heartbroken and deceived and to kind of question, you know, your own, not morals, but just
judgment.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then that idea, like you said, of not wanting to be suspicious of everyone, because being trusting of people is an acquired skill set and taste. I think more so probably in our business in LA, at least, you know, from my experience, just because there's more opportunity, I think, out here in our business to get falsehoods thrown your way and just buy into shit that you want to think is true and it not be, right? I'm sure more so than our friends that live in the Midwest or the Northwest, right?
Well, this is a town of total sociopaths. Like, this is a town of broken people on both sides of the camera who are just, like, fully insane, and we all demand transparency and honesty.
And none of us are given
and it. And sanity. And yet, like, well, everyone's, you know.
In doses.
And so it's not a, like, you know, you don't want to walk. I do believe people are lying almost 100% of the time. The question is, how are you going to let it affect you? And are you going to carry that bitterness, which some people do? I remember after it all happened, I made a very conscious decision. I was like, I will not pay this forward. I'm not going to be the girl that takes this out on the men that I date after. So I was very open with, like, all the hot dudes after. I was just like, look, I went through something really traumatic. So, like, we can be cool, but, like, I can't be your girlfriend. But then, of course, I became the girlfriend. But then, of course, I broke up with them.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were all very understanding.
And you broke up with them.
I mean, I'm married now, so definitely parted.
Hilarious. Have you always been more of the breaker-upper?
Yeah. But Whoa. That's not like, oh, I'm a cool girl. I just,
no.
You know.
I respect that. You know.
When you know, you know.
Yeah.
And men always, you can break someone's heart, but, like, better to just be like, look, I'm just not in the same place. And to be honest, like, there's no, other than this total psychopath, like, I don't. Other than, like, one other person, like, there's no exes where I'm like, oh, him, ugh. Cool. Like, I'm giving my ex and his parents tickets to see a show. Cool. And we never talk. It's just.
How many of your exes do you have that with?
I guess I don't really have a ton of exes.
Yeah. I have, yeah, I've got a few. And one I reached out to the last few times I've been in San Francisco. And she cheated on me and ended. Ooh. But I still am like. When I'm up there, I'm like, yeah, come out to the show. Bring your husband. And I remember the last time I reached out, like 2 weeks later, she was like, sorry, just saw this. And I was like, oh,
ew.
You might as well have texted me a picture of you guys fucking. Like,
is that the guy that she cheated on you
no,
with? Okay,
no.
Is that at
she
least.
She cheated on me with a cameraman in Reno when she was living there. I wrote a whole song about it, put it on the
Why
internet.
Why was he there?
It.
What
she
were
was
they
there.
Making?
She was.
What are you, a cameraman in Reno? What is that?
I mean, it was bad. I asked all sorts of questions like, you know, did he shoot his stories in you know, in your face? It was just it was bad. It was a lot of questions I didn't
want
to answer.
That's really, you know, whatever.
But I reached out and but then there's one that I was just in Denver and she was like, you know, got this new baby, but otherwise would love to come out. And I'm like, cool. But I have like truly nothing attached to it other than like, I don't know, like it'd be, I'm always thinking too in terms of, like I was just in Atlanta and had a buddy reach out who I used to work with at Universal Studios. We were tour guides and he came out to the show and it was like, I always love that. I don't know how you view that. Do you like having just little reconnects, whether you kick it after or it's nice to see. I like, I don't know. If it's a fond memory. And even if the ex in San Fran did come out, it's not like I would talk for 20 minutes, but
I think it's
I'm
also,
like, maybe there's something deep on the
I think
inside
that,
for
yeah,
me where I'm
yeah.
like, you got to see that I made it without you.
There's
Is that.
That
there?
Not for me. I honestly, look. Even though the majority of my first couple specials are about like men and women, like I have really had nice relationships for the most part.
Yeah.
I don't put up with garbage. I don't attract garbage. And if you are garbage, I don't stand for it. Like, yeah. And that's part of just, it's not even about being a strong woman, but just like knowing where you're going in life and
being
whatever.
Direct.
Yeah. Like boyfriends are like guys that you're with for like several months, but it's never like a hateful parting. And two boyfriends who I mean, I've been married for 3 years and I hadn't seen in years. One was at a show. He's friends with another comic. And I was like, oh, hey. And there's something so full circle about standing in a parking lot with an ex-boyfriend and you're both talking about, like, fertility plans. You know?
Totally. That's
and
a
it
great
happened
scene.
With two ex-boyfriends.
Wow.
Like, remember when we would, like, do drugs and be sexy together and, like, make out in hotel lobbies? Well, now we're talking about your wife's eggs being frozen. Like, and it's such an adult conversation.
That's
like,
amazing.
Yep, this is where we are. And it's so sweet.
Totally.
To have that, because I also think, you know, I love my husband so much. And so there's no to hold on to anger to any of these people that you dated in like your 20s.
Yeah.
Like, let it go.
Different time. Man.
I mean, based on what they did. But it's like, you weren't my match. I'm not mad at you. And
yeah.
Now you get free comedy show tickets.
Do you I've seen you a handful of times in the last few months. I know you never stop writing stand up. But you have a great bit right now involving like the Karen world. that I
in
saw.
In Defense of the Karen.
Which I really dig.
It's more of a monologue.
Yes.
It's more of a one act.
Yes. Which, by the way, the end of Good on Paper has just some, again, great Pacino-esque courtroom monologues.
Oh, my God. Thank
yeah,
you.
It was great. And it's also, I was like, good for you taking that swing. Because, like, wrapping up the movie like that, you need that. And I'm, you know, watching, as I was texting you, I was like, I'm invested right out of the gate. And then all I can think is like, man, I'm in. Like, how is this going to, you know, you get ahead of yourself. You're like, are we going to wrap up the way it should wrap up?
Can I tell you, writing a courtroom scene is incredibly daunting, and here's why.
Of course, there's so many good ones.
I was going to say there's so many bad ones, and none of us have actually been in a court like that.
I know.
So I was like texting this lawyer that I know. I'm like, I got some questions.
Well, I like that you didn't pack it too, because those are the ones that right out of the gate, you're just like, you better be coming with an Oscar-worthy performance
right.
if there's like 200 people in there. But also, it wasn't conducive for that.
I'm still not sure that this type of thing would like be on a trial, but I want it. Like, it's like you want it to be true, but you also got to stretch the truth if you want to get, yeah, like that type of whatever. And you also didn't want it to be too long. Like, nobody wants to be in a courtroom. We had one extra who was in the jury.
Oh, please tell me extra stories.
He kept closing his eyes.
Yep.
And at one point, the AD had to be like, you need your eyes open. Like, we can tell that you're sleeping. They need to
God.
Be open.
We don't have the budget to get glasses with eyes on them for you.
You got one job. We're here for 2 hours. Please keep your eyes open.
Somebody get him some grape nuts.
Yeah. And those courtroom scenes are definitely like, you don't want to go too big or too small. And you're like, would this kind of crime, whatever, be tried? So, and I also, you know, in the end, well, I guess I don't want to say anything. So it's,
Was there more pressure on that to write that? Like when you were writing it, how much just flowed out of you? And then how much were you like, all right, I'm going to come back to this in a week, or I'm going to ask for notes on this, or I'm going to...
You get the notes whether you ask for them or not.
Okay.
But I think it's like, I wanted to have her serious moments. I also wanted to make sure that it was sound, like legally sound. And even like I did do my due diligence without giving it away. Like the legalese applied to it makes it work. You kind of got to pay attention to it. But courtrooms are supposed to, none of us really know how they work.
Yeah.
And in a regular court, for the most part, you don't get to testify.
Yeah.
So I just wanted it to be impactful. And I wanted this to be like a real ex machina moment, I guess.
And you had great jokes with the judge, which is always, I'm a big fan of that.
Thank
when
you.
There's like judge banter
and
you make the judge kind of likable, which
yes.
that guy was, I mean,
she was
I've definitely seen her in everything.
Yeah.
Another favorite moment I had, with, again, just a compliment to your
Thank
acting
you.
Chops, was when you were on the golf course.
Oh.
And you did this look, and I took it as something else, but then it became about you starting to call, you know, this, what's his name in the movie again?
Dennis.
Dennis, that's right. Out for maybe, you know, pulling your chain on some stuff. But when you looked over and you see the hand, before I knew it was about the bracelet, it was such a, like, I mean, laugh out loud, and then I couldn't laugh because I was so like, what a fucking, such a funny thing that you did, where I thought you were looking at her wave and feeling insecure about the way you were waving then tried to model it after.
Funny.
But that's where I picked up on that from. And I know other people will because I feel like I'm not a dumb
I appreciate that.
Comedy pickups.
I think that was Kimmy's, you know, she was really collaborative and really good about, we kind of went back through the script and just giving it little beats, like touchstone beats like that.
You're good at that though, but you bring,
thank you.
Steve Carell does this brilliantly where he does a lot that's not on the page and you do that.
Sure.
Whether it's faces for things that were appropriately sized for like, just the comedy of the moment.
He's really good at playing sincere.
Totally.
And you feel bad for him. He's really good at being like the underdog. And it's tough when you're a girl, it's like there are these boxes, like either you're pathetic or you're like the ball busting lawyer that like loves fucking and martinis and cigars. And it's like, what about normal girls in the middle who are, you know, you're still funny, but you still have these sincere moments because somebody has your heart. What about those girls, which are the majority of girls?
Yeah. So. I felt like I was watching you the whole time.
Good.
You know what I'm saying? Like, didn't feel like you were ever putting on.
Thank you. Oh, me. Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I honestly, you
and
know.
Do you feel that way?
I want.
We're all our own worst critics.
I like playing myself.
Yeah. It's good.
I think that's why I'm not great at auditioning, because I'm like, I don't want to be an 18th century witch
yeah.
peasant. Like, I really.
Hey. Hugh Grant, Sandra Bullock crushed it as a type for a bunch of movies. And I'm watching this being like, yep. Take that. Take this, Eliza. Put it in.
All the comedic greats get to do that. They
yes.
get to be. Will Ferrell plays that version of
yes.
himself. Adam Sandler is a great example.
Come on.
Bill Murray. you know, Eddie Murphy. Like, it's always just kind of you being funny.
Yeah.
And that's, and there's so many, it's such a spectrum. Like, you can have, like, think of, like, Punch Drunk Love or Rain Over Me.
Yeah.
Like, where it's the more sincere side, but you know that side's in him because in the Wedding Plan, in the Wedding Singer, he has those beats, but then he's funny. So you want to be that actor that, like, that's all a spectrum of your own skills versus you're just playing Abraham Lincoln.
Does it
which
make
is great
you,
too.
Would you play Abraham Lincoln's wife? Yeah. Does it make you want to do something, like, were you so, first of all, was it a fun experience? I didn't even ask that. Like, because you're wearing so many hats and then post and pre and everything leading up to it, it's almost like once you get on the first day of filming, I would think that everything leading up to it goes away where you're like, we're making a movie. But then there's a whole another bucket of concerns that can arise, like, fuck, I mean, just the day-to-day. And then when you rap, you're like, is it going to see the light of day? How do you manage that?
I mean, the one secret that nobody tells you about, like, being at the helm of your own ship and starring in your own movie that you wrote is that you need to memorize your lines.
Oh, yeah.
I completely, it was just so, it was so much heavy lifting that I just arrived on, like, and I did this with my sketch show, too. I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot. I wrote this. I forgot to memorize the lines. But because you write it, it and you are, I'm so familiar with it just from writing and rewriting and rewriting. Yeah. Like, you have, you know, you look at them right before and you do it. And that is a skill unto itself. But I definitely, like, had times where I arrived, like, not positive what that next line was, just because you're doing so many things. And then you finish it. And like I said, I just ran to that other set, which was a very difficult shoot, very cold. And then you just start the editing and you can only take it one bite at a time. That's all you can do is edit it. And then you just hope that somebody finds you annoying enough that they want to sell it to get rid of you. And just, you can just, you be prepared for the worst, but you hope for the best.
You know what I also loved? The narration.
Thank you.
You can fuck that up in movies. And that is so apparent.
It when is it my just, favorite tool.
Oh, man.
I love narration.
Your first one was so in your voice and thank so you. Funny and so just the way people talk. It wasn't, every girl thinks that life should,
like,
you know.
Like Sex in the City.
Yeah, it wasn't put on, which that works for that style. But,
right.
But that is also a, I don't know, I don't want to say a risk, but it's like another useful weapon in the film that,
thank you.
Guess what? If it doesn't play, you're like, it can take you out of it.
You're so screwed. The stand-up comedy in the film and the voiceover are two things that are so, are two devices that are divisive. Like, people have very strong feelings about voiceover. My favorite film in the world is Goodfellas. And every time I do voiceover, I'm thinking like Henry Hill. Like, in the end, like at the beginning where he's just like, all my life I wanted to be a gangster. Like, that, I guess because I admire that type of filmmaking so much, I love voiceover. It gets you where you got to go.
Yeah.
And we took out the stand-up and we thought about that. We're like, what if we didn't have it? What if we do have it? And I was like,
no, it you
just
needed it.
Needed it. A lot of people said no, but in the end, I was just like, this belongs here because we also had two narrative devices. We had, sorry, we don't have voiceover in this. We had voiceover and we had stand-up and they were two on two separate planes and people thought it was too confusing. And I was like, well, let's at least keep the stand-up to bring us through. And the truth is the stand-up I do in the movie was totally improvised.
Whoa.
And then those became bits in real life.
Yeah.
But I just got up. We got a bunch of fans together to be in the belly room audience.
Cool.
Hunter Hill, who opens for me, who you know, who's a very funny comic. He was a heckler in the crowd and he had a line that just says you are. And this is so insane. He got Bell's palsy.
Oh, yeah.
Like that week. And so we're on him and like half his face is melted. And we're like, I guess you can't really tell. But in the end, we decided not to show anyone's face in the audience.
No.
This poor guy like gets in a movie and his face is like
his
half slow.
Opening shot on a big screen. I mean.
So we just use his voice.
Oh, was he bummed about that or did he get it?
It wasn't him. It was just we decided not to cut to the audience at all.
Gotcha.
But like that definitely solidified.
At least that's what we'll tell him. I wonder if it was a 20% less palsy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy that he got that and overcame that. That's bonkers.
Yeah. That's very scary.
Pickles, we're almost done.
White pickles.
The stand-up part was necessary. And again, to go back to just like being, having your shit together, I dug that because I go, cool. It's cool to see someone that's thriving.
Yeah.
And then dealing with real shit and not like, because if you were like leaving the department store and like some customer was being shitty to you where you do feel like the customer has control. But like with that heckler, it's like, oh, you handle it. You have control. And now you're back in your life where you're
showing
dealing with real life shit.
Also the stand-up, I think a little bit of it for me was this wish fulfillment because for years, you know, I especially on TV, I'm like, why can't, if I'm selling a show, why can't I be a comic?
Yeah.
And they're like, we just, and I'm like, really? Because John Mulaney got to do it. Pete Holmes got to do it. Seinfeld got to do it. Like all these guys get to do it, even though it's in the background. And there was such a, people just cannot fathom the idea that a woman's a stand-up, but also a human. And then you get like a Marvelous Miss Maisel. And I'm like, see? It's okay. Uh-huh. And then like hacks. And you notice it's never, of course, about the stand-up. It's about their world.
Yeah.
But part of me was just like, because I wrote a version where she was like in a band, you know, like one draft of it.
Cool.
Just trying to make it like go around it, or just an actress. But I was like, we've seen that. We've seen the girl that's the actress. We've seen the girl that's the writer. And I'm like, may as well just take a swing and be honest about it and get to say, hey, I played a stand-up.
Yeah.
Because there's a little bit of, like, when I see someone being a stand-up on TV, I'm always like, how come they got to do it to me?
I know.
So I was like, I'm going to fucking do this.
Also, if you're staying true to the story and keeping a lot of things consistent, why wouldn't you also with that part of it? And, again, like, shooting at the store had to be kind of cool, right? Like, or is that...
You just pay them, and they let you.
But, I mean, is it even, I don't know, just to be at a place where you're like, there's a place where it's my home, and I'm shooting my movie here?
Yes, it felt special to me. I mean, the Comedy Store is like that parent that you'll never get the acceptance from. Like, they're never going to be like, great job.
Yeah.
But we're doing our press day there. We're going to do, go through it. So it was cool just to, you know, as a comic, to have that home and be like, this is my home club. And we did do this as true with, you know, as possible.
Also, it's iconic, and even more so now because of all the exposure it's gotten. So it's like an added cool factor for the movie for people to be like, oh, shit.
Like, I like to contribute to that because, you know, I was a part of the Showtime documentary, and everybody has their version of how they see the store. And I like that I might inform people, like, or they might know about it based on this movie.
Yeah.
And it's through my lens.
Does Noah, your husband, what does he think? How was he through all of it? Was he, I'm here if you need me. Or did you go like, hey, will you watch this? I need another set of eyes. Did you send it to folks or family? Like,
when we were editing it, I had like a quick screening with some people that like I think are really into movies just to get like some takes. But in the end, of course, I just did what I wanted and I kept the stand up.
You almost do it for that. Like, I don't want to hear you say something just so I can shoot it down.
But I did. It's like you have the thing that you really love. And then I just wanted, because I'm just so close to something.
Yeah.
You know, so he's always supportive. You know, and it's like your wife is, he's now seen me in a couple things where I am kissing someone else in this. And then like there's Spencer Confidential where
in a bra,
I have full
there was a man's butt. You didn't look at it, but it was there.
Oh, yeah. That's two different scenes. But. He was so supportive, I think, because he knows, like, that's the way to be. You know? Also, like, Ryan Hansen's, like, very married with, like, several children. Like, this was not, like, a sexual day at the office.
Also, you got 3 years of marriage under your belt and dating before that with each other. So maybe I am curious, though, like, if, let's say, you were 3 months into being married and then you got it. Is there a different dynamic there?
I think he gets the type of person that I am.
Yeah.
And I think he also gets that like jealousy is like one of the least attractive things in the world.
Totally.
And I always remind him how much I respect the wide berth he gives me in terms of who I socialize with and how I spend my time. Because I am often the only girl. As I have been forever. I'm not allowed to say that, but I am. It'll be like an all-male lineup, and a lot of my friends are men, and that's just, you know, and when I got married, there were plenty of men that you're not friends with anymore, but like you or like a Mark Ellis or my friend Greg, like if you're a man in my life now, like it's clear that we've never had sex and we're not going to have sex and like you're down for me and they're very cool with him.
Yeah.
It would be weird if I was like, this is my friend Adam Ray and he doesn't want to meet you.
So yeah.
He's very secure, and that's very attractive.
I know
to
for me too, though, as a guy, like, I remember when I first met him, I was like, all right, like, I think it's important because, you know, I cherish our friendship and also I was like, I'm sure I'm going to dig him, but it's like important for guys to like go out of their way to be like, hey, man, like,
be a person about
it. And like,
yeah.
Like, she's known me, I've known her for a while, and like, I don't want to just be this guy that you're like, it's that fucking guy that you say hi to and hug and stuff. And like,
I always try to be, I'm always respectful of our relationship and him or whatever. And it's actually very cute because, you know, he would always come to the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Because for him, like, he listens to Mark Maron's podcast. He's a Bill Burr fan.
Yeah.
I think he likes them more than me, which is okay.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
And I think, and it's become like he and Mark Maron went to like the farmer's market together. Like,
hilarious.
I think he enjoys Like, he's not just like your skin tag significant other. Like,
yeah.
He enjoys being there, seeing the comedy, get a free drink.
Yeah.
And he enjoys the world of comedy. And so it's fun for him. But I've definitely been around where he's been like, there's been a dude and he's been like, I don't like that guy. And if my husband says that, I'm like, okay, cool.
It's fine to say that too.
That's okay
too. You want
him
to say that. Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying this episode. Obviously, it's a very difficult time for everyone right now. We're all challenged in finding a day-to-day routine that that makes our lives consistent and awesome. And if there's something that's interfering with your happiness right now or preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp is a professional counseling service online, private, and it's so convenient. I've used it for a little bit now. It's truly the only way that I found to help get my own issues dealt with on my own time, at my own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your licensed professional counselor right now. They're specialized in depression, anger, stress, anxiety, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief or relationships, sleeping, which I have a lot of trouble with, trauma, self-esteem. Anything that you share with them is confidential. And guess what? If you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, at any time, you can request a new one for no additional charge. There's 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states, available worldwide. And again, there's four ways to communicate with them: text, chat, phone, and video. You can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's available on any desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS apps. Schedule a video or phone session, generally weekly, unless your therapist schedules more. Unless you just are really not sleeping and need to get some additional chats in. There's broad expertise in the network, which may not be locally available in many areas. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. It's secure, it's convenient, it's professional, and above all, it's affordable. All right. It's truly the most affordable option I've found. So right now, all ALN listeners are going to get 10% off your first month with a discount code About Last Night. So why not get started today and start making some changes for the better in your life? You deserve it. So go to betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor that you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight and get 10% off your first month with promo code About Last Night. And now back to the episode. I remember when I was in New York and popped in and we watched your show at Caroline's. Remember then we went out
and then
to
we
eat
went
after.
To the Polish restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was really cool because that gave me an insight into your guys' thirst for eateries and
yes.
just cool spots. And I remember it was so calculated but so quick. It was like we knew what we wanted. It was mm-hmm. like we want to go this. We want to try this new thing.
Yeah.
And we're in a city where you gotta be active with those types of experiences.
Yeah.
And I remember you guys just. I think he found like four. And then described, it was like all in the Uber in like a 5 minute.
Yeah.
And he like listed a few and read a few and then you were like, that one. And then it was like, we went there and it was like, it was so cool. I felt like I was on an Anthony Bourdain show.
Late night, find the thing. And he takes great pride in being like, it's like a hunter-gatherer thing. Like, I found the thing that she wants.
Yeah.
And
guys love that.
He loves that. There's no greater gift you can give the man in your life than telling him exactly what you want and then letting him go get it.
Did you hear that, babe?
It just, I want tacos. Okay, I'll get you tacos. Whatever you want.
Yes.
Like, dudes,
we
girls,
want to do that. That's all we want.
Girls, guys will do anything for you. Anything. Just give them a task. They love it. They're like golden retrievers.
I know.
It's a physical thing. I'm like, can you move that chair? Yup. We don't talk to it. I'll just do it. I'm like, great, because I don't feel like moving it.
Very funny. Yup is a very like concrete, yep. like, oh yeah. Can we move two chairs?
No problem.
No problem.
Oops, I tore my sack.
Like, Amanda's in, my fiance's in Chicago right now with some girlfriends, and I'm like, wanted to send them to Second City because I'm like, just an iconic. She's now just so ingrained in the comedy world and so, you know, just a part of it. And I'm like, you got to go in. I was like, I want you to just walk through the lobby. I was like, all these people, and I want you to see this amazing place where so many people have gotten their starts. And she's like, no, because tickets were a little pricey. And she's like, don't do it. And it was like driving me crazy that she wouldn't let me do it. And they were a little expensive, and I was going to treat her and her friends, but I was like, in the name of, like, this is something I was like, I don't care. Like, I want you to,
have had
but
they, that.
They're yeah. filling up the day with other stuff, but how do you guys, and this is now going to be about me, because I'm getting married next April, and you'll be there. What I mean, I guess I can't ask for tips yet because it's not happened. But in the planning of the wedding.
Oh, boy.
When I first saw you at the first show at Tammy Jo's Magic Castle show, mm-hmm. and we discussed it, and you started kind of give me some quick tips about, I think it was like, you know, make it about you, like yeah. the girl doesn't matter. You said, you know, pick the food. Definitely don't let her dad talk.
Don't let any of her family in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you gave me some good advice. But what is, like, is it easy to look back now and go, yeah, well, this is what I would do differently, almost like with a special? Or
yeah.
Is it truly a case by case? You would need to sit down with the couple and be like, well, here's what I would do for you guys.
Here's the truth. It doesn't matter
cool.
what everybody says yeah. or the advice.
We'll go to a courthouse.
No. I just mean, like, I could be like, you know, make it about you, but you're not going to take all the advice because you're going to end up doing whatever works. And everyone thinks they know better. I have in Unveiled, I talk a lot about weddings and just how every girl's like, yeah, fuck the patriarchy. I'm not doing it. It's like, and then at the end of the day, it's like, I'm going to wear a white dress.
Yeah.
Because you want that experience because
yeah.
it's so coveted, so special. It's not advice as much as something that I'm just going to like warn you. Your wedding you will see the true colors of people. The worst person in your life, the aunt you never speak to, will send you $1 million and your best friend like craps out halfway through. You will see sides of people that you never, whether it be altruistic or total demons.
My nephew drops the N-word.
You'll see.
He's six.
You'll see.
Yeah.
The weirdest, it happened to me. I shouldn't have had so many bridesmaids, but it was like I wanted to include one relative and then she dropped out, but I'd already asked the others and I didn't really, whatever. Everybody was cool.
That's tricky.
One of my best friends got so fucking wasted that she, you actually know this person, that she left her, and she was a bridesmaid. So you're not really there for fun. You're there to help me go to the bathroom. Thank God my assistant was there. She left all of her makeup, keys, wallet, change of clothes, because we had changed at the venue. She left it all on like the 8th floor, left all of it, and left before we'd eaten dinner because she was that wasted. And I have not really spoken to her since.
Bummer.
It was just like, what the fuck are you? Are you this insecure about the fact that you're not married?
Yeah.
And I just, it's not about not forgiving. It was just like, oh, how can I go to your wedding?
No.
And
keep it together.
After I've known you for this long. So I never saw that coming. Like, get drunk for sure, but not blackout drunk and you leave your car keys.
How do you balance?
Well, don't drive.
Yeah. How do you balance inviting people that, I don't know, shouldn't? I mean, that's what I'm dealing with now is like guest list where I'm like,
okay.
I want that person there, but, and I don't care if I didn't go to their wedding, honestly,
no,
at all.
It's not about that. Okay.
I didn't go to your wedding and you're coming to mine. Who
right.
gives a fuck?
I'll probably be on tour, but I'll take the invite and I'll send you a gift, which is what everybody really wants.
A year out?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
you
already,
probably will.
It's 2022?
Already locked and loaded.
Let me say this
to
you.
It's a Thursday at 2.
Joking. Oh, I'm doing a bar mitzvah. No, I'll be there. I'll definitely give you a gift.
It'll be so fun. You got to come.
I'm coming. Is it here?
What if we have your show at the ballroom? You perform at my wedding.
That sounds expensive.
Twofer. Hilarious.
Wait, what were we talking about?
Deciding who the guest list, breaking it down. Friends of old, friends of new.
My husband said this, because men are usually very quiet around this, and he was just like, think about, because you have all the people that you feel obligated to invite.
Yeah.
He was like, when you turn around, because you're going to be so busy that night, you won't even see half of your guests.
I know. She's worried about that. She's
don't
like,
be worried about it.
Well, she's worried about like, she's like, I want to be next to you the whole time. She's like, it's going to go by.
Nope, you don't.
Like, and if we're just like apart.
I was apart from my husband almost the entire time.
And that's how it is, right?
He doesn't really dance. He was talking to people. And that's fine. You have the rest of your lives.
Yeah.
You don't have to go as a couple. That's
yeah.
so fully insane.
Okay.
My husband said this. He was like, think about when you turn around, who do you want to be excited that they're there versus oh, good, you made it. Like, who's going to light your
Whoa.
Heart on fire versus like, oh, good, Aunt Mimi, you're here. Think about it that way. If somebody's a real friend, they will understand not being invited.
Cool.
And it's you can always blame it on the finances. You probably aren't inviting, you know, like 30,000 people. There's the money thing. And it's just really about like, who do you want to have said was there? And if you really can't see that person you'll be friends with in 5 years, people want an excuse to not go.
They do, huh?
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
Well, I know like my friends up in Seattle are like, dude, I'm going to come down for the week, like a break for my kids. Like they're just pumped. Like it's
also you have tiers of people that you invite.
Yeah.
And as they say they can't, then you invite other people. You also have people that you invite like just to get the gift, you know, but you have to be prepared for them to say yes.
Amazing.
Do not invite someone that you feel obligated to invite.
Don't have a backup list.
You can have a backup. Like if you have 8 openings and you want to fill them or you've got X amount of tables, but like think about, like, this is a special day. Like, do you really care?
But then there's, like, family where it's like, I got my brother-in-law's family that's like, there's some dicey characters on that front. And I'm like,
it's your brother-in-law. There's no reason.
Okay.
He has to be there, but that's it.
But in my heart, I'm like, oh, but it would be a great family bonder and she'd have a good time. But I'm also like, she'd probably get fucked up. Like,
you don't need to be stressed out about it. Let me tell you this. My stepmom, who's great, has 6 brothers and sisters, and they all have spouses and they all have children. I initially, wanting to include everyone, sent out save the dates to all 6 of them. So that's 12 extra people.
Yeah.
And then I reneged. And whoa. I sent an email. I was like, you guys have been so welcoming to me since I was 7 years old when you met me. You always had me to, like, Hanukkah parties. You always treated me like I was your family. Unfortunately, I cannot commit to 12 additional people if we're also going to fit in all these people. And I don't know if I got gifts from them, but they were all very cool about
it. Cool. Yeah.
There's an honesty thing there. And if somebody really loves you, like, they'll get it.
Totally. So I subscribe to that.
It won't have mattered. I look back at some of the people I invited. I'm like, who fucking cares if they
yeah.
are?
Okay, good.
The food and the music are the only things that matter.
Good. Yeah. Got a 9-piece band, full brass section. That was my call. I was like, splurging on that. Saw it at a buddy's wedding. Pickles were almost done.
It's all about you, guys. It is. It's about showing them who you are.
Okay.
I stole that line from an audition, but it's true. Amazing. I auditioned for Father of the Bride, the new one.
Whoa.
Anyways, I didn't get it.
For the wedding planner?
Yeah.
No.
But I didn't.
The Martin Short character?
Mm-hmm.
Shut the fuck up.
I didn't get it. That's okay, though.
It's okay.
Who knows?
They're probably going to offer it to Martin Short.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
What a cool audition, though. Isn't it cool to have those, though, at least? I don't know.
It's nice to get asked to do big auditions.
Yeah.
It's a little shitty when you don't get it. You're like, I spent all Friday memorizing. I put on makeup.
For sure.
But it's okay.
It is okay because June 23rd, Good on Paper hits Netflix.
That's right.
And I'm not saying this because I'm biased and because my friend crushed
Pickles.
Pickles, come here. Come here. But because it's a truly phenomenal film.
Thank you.
Yep. Top to bottom. Enjoyed it. Going to watch it again. Can't wait to watch it with Amanda. She was fired up.
Oh, my God.
She was asking me to wait. I was like, I can't. I have to do a podcast about it.
Yeah.
But she's excited because she adores you.
Thank you.
So before we end, James Lipton, RIP. Host of Inside the Actor Studio, closed the show out with a very cool 10-question questionnaire.
Ooh.
And
is it like a rapid fire thing?
Yeah, I'd like to do that with you right now. You can take your time, but it's most of the answers are quick ones.
Okay.
So here we go. As James Lipton, you no doubt would have been on it at some point, so we're just going to take care of that now.
Okay.
Eliza Schlesinger. Good on Paper drops June 23rd. Netflix. What is your favorite word? And I know you have a big vocab.
I do. I'm trying to think of a word that I use a lot. A word that I use often. What's a...
Paralysis threw Adam for a loop.
Oh, man. It sounds like you're like an NPR narrator, like on Walden Pond. I'm just trying to think.
Is that a book?
Yeah. Wait. What's a word that I use a lot?
You have a ton of words that I'm constantly like, did you just Google that? But it's like, nope, she uses that and has been since the fourth
grade. I just used the word peradventure, and I had to look it up, and I had to really think about how to use it. And I think peradventure means...
Follow-up question. What the fuck does that mean?
I think peradventure, there's like a couple definitions, but it... Oh, shit. What was it? Peradventure is like... But unfortunately, as it was to be, like, but peradventure, it did not work out or something. I still can't. Whenever it's, if they don't give it to me in a sentence, I'm like, I don't know how to use an adverb.
Can we accept that? Yes.
Peradventure.
What is your least favorite word?
What am I supposed to say? Like, can't. Like one of those like inspo things.
Can I tell you something, by the way?
Yeah.
And don't judge me.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I just remembered that I ended it with a joke. My senior year high school yearbook quote was shouting out some friends, shouting out some family, and then felt like I needed to end it with some sort of prolific message.
Mm.
Because I think, you know, even if you don't outwardly, you know, exude that type of a approach to life, I think at that point, too, I was just like, I've been through being a fat kid, divorce. I'm heading to L.A.
Yeah.
on a high note. I'm telling all these people, when you look back at that yearbook, which you will, you'll read my quote and be like...
Which you will, for sure. Everybody reads them.
Yeah, yeah. I put, after the shout-outs to friends and family, you know, mom couldn't have done it without you, which is true. Shout-out to Puddin. I go, there's 3 words that I hate. Can't, couldn't, and vanilla ice.
Wow, Adam.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I feel like I saw somebody do that joke at the Ha Ha. No.
Me. Last
no.
night.
I think, okay, can I do a, since you said vanilla ice.
But I made a joke
a
there.
Yeah, you
right?
did.
Right? Isn't that, do I get any sort
the
of a pass?
The seed was planted. Sure. You get a pass because you were a kid.
Okay, thank you.
I hate the phrase spiritual gangster. I hate seeing it on shirts. I hate seeing it on expensive moms in Venice with like $800 Peruvian friendship bracelets.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual gangster is so fucking dumb and antithetical to being spiritual. And it's stupid. And it's just an excuse to buy a $300 sweatshirt. Spiritual gangster.
Great answer. What turns you on?
Sense of humor. Truly.
Huge.
Oh, and intelligence. Maybe
what's
intelligence
the
over
breakdown?
Sense. I probably have to go in. To be truly funny, you have to be smart in some capacity.
Yeah.
I vote intelligence.
Cool.
Because there are some ugly men that I think are very attractive because they're very smart.
Cool.
Who I've met on planes.
What turns you off?
Oh, God. Just male comics in general?
High school yearbook quotes.
What turns me off is excessive hubris. And it's not so much ego as long as you can back it up with something. I hate unsubstantiated ego. I hate mimicking talent. I'm thinking of a lot of male comics. That bothers me. Having an attitude with nothing to back it up. No work to back it up.
1,000%.
Yeah.
What noise or love? Sorry.
What?
Fuck. I wrote these goddamn questions. What noise or sound do you love?
Oh, it's very quiet. I really like listening to my dog breathe when she's sleeping. Just dog breath.
Adore that. What sound or noise do you hate?
Oh, God, there's so many.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is not one that I hate, but that is it's grating. The sound of like a loud helicopter over you. Mm. And you don't realize that that's why you've been clenching your jaw forever. Oh, the alarm that we all have on our iPhones.
Yeah.
That alarm sound specifically, because we never change it. And it to me, it always is like, oh, gotta go to the airport. Like, every time I hear it, I'm automatically like 28 hungover trying to get out of Omaha, going to the airport.
0 to 60 in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
Panic attack city, and you're the mayor.
Yeah.
Yep. What's your favorite curse word? And you can have multiple answers for this.
Like, just basically, like the F word.
Yeah. Any curse word. It doesn't have to be the one you use the most, but like fave. Like, you hear it, or if you get to say it in a show, or you heard, you know, I don't know.
I think a well-placed fuck is a thing of beauty.
Totally.
I think if you use it too much, then it starts to lose its sting.
Mm-hmm.
Well-placed fuck is very funny.
Yeah, you're not against cursing on stage, but you don't curse a lot.
No. It should be there's a punctuation, not just like, because I can't, fucking, and then it.
What do you think about people that are like Seinfeld is like, I just don't curse. Do you think there's some people that are like, I'm above it, or it's just like, not what I do?
It's just not the way that they are. I don't think it makes you better than anyone or anything. And you definitely open yourself up to more opportunities if you don't curse.
Yeah.
But again, if it's well-placed versus, you know what word I never use is motherfucker. People are like, what up, motherfucker?
It's got to be natural. I heard a guy say it the other day on stage and I go, yikes, that was the second time you've ever said that.
Yeah.
And it did not come out of your mouth the way it should have.
I don't love bitches. I don't.
And referring to gals?
Just in general,
what about
like
a gaggle of dogs.
Yeah, like what up, bitch? Like I don't want to claim that word. I don't care that much.
Yeah.
Hate that too.
Yeah.
Calling someone a bitch, be like, she's a bitch, is funny because it is what it is versus like these are my bitches. And it's like I hoes. Yeah. I'm just like,
oh,
okay.
I know.
Let's we got a long way to go. Claim it all you want. I'm just not gonna say it.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
And it can't be like within the realm of sort of what I do. It can't be like acting. It can't be. I think I would be attempt. What do I like to? Maybe it's being some sort of professional athlete.
Cool.
But it's a little late for that.
What sport specifically?
Maybe, you know what? I think I'd be a good workout instructor.
Mm. You would?
Yeah. Sometimes I pretend I'm leading
that's
a class.
That's an alt job you could have definitely done for this. Or that's the next movie for sure.
A workout
teaching
instructor.
You know our girl, Sharoom, over at Netflix?
Yes.
Yeah. I took cardio hip-hop, I think, class with her. She convinced me to. Early morning. Ended up tearing my calf 3 days later because I was jumping so much with minimal stretching. And I felt bad. I was the only dude in the class.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was representing,
wait,
you know.
I have to pee so bad.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
Is there a key or can I just go?
Nothing better than a good pee, by the way. Oh, we're still going?
There's still some in there, but I was like, it's enough. We got to come back.
Hilarious. A good pee is, that's not on here, but I feel like, well, look, I'm going to improvise a little. I'm going to do some, pull a Lipton audible. What's a better feeling, Eliza? A good pee or a good laugh?
Ooh.
That is good.
Well, one is.
That's mine. Fuck you, James.
One's relief and one is like adding on.
Reward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Adding. Yeah. One, you're. Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, you're adding on by letting go.
I would say a laugh, and here's why. You're adding on. That's the podcast. I would say a laugh, and here's why. A good pee just gets you back to a homeostasis. Like, you were fine, then you had to pee, now you're back to being fine. A good laugh leaves you elevated.
You think you were fine before the pee? What if, I don't know. I've had to hold pees, and I've been in a very distressed state.
The way you are normally is how you are when you don't have to pee. So then all of a sudden you have to pee. That's like if I twist your arm. Oh, it feels so good to let go, but I'm just returning you to how it felt before I was twisting your arm.
Yeah.
And laughter is releasing serotonin or one of those chemicals.
Follow-up question.
Okay.
What's better, a good pee or a good orgasm?
Oh, that's... I think I just had an orgasm while peeing. That's how good it was. So can you have both? I've seen... There's some porn like that, right?
There's got to be.
Yeah.
There's something for everybody out there.
What's the rule? It's like, it's called like Rule 44. I'm looking at my videos. Where if you thought about it, it exists as porn.
Oh, I thought that was like the name of the pee cum category.
Rule 44?
Rule 44.
It's like 4chan, yeah. But higher. Yeah.
What profession would you not like to do?
Oh, anything involving listening or math.
I hate math.
Anything where the hours are like a government job where it's like set in stone. There's no room for innovation. You have to just report to someone. Any room where there's no questioning.
Gotcha.
And I can't do math. So don't hire me. It'll be bad for you.
Ever been able to do math? Always been a...
I can like add. It's good. Just never been a strong suit of mine.
Also, not an interest of mine. Once I saw the quadratic formula live in the flesh, I was like...
In action.
Yeah, in action. It just made me feel, who wants to do anything that they know they're not going to use in the future?
I mean, someone's using it somewhere. I just...
The quadratic formula?
Someone must be using it.
Fuck, I think it was just made up to pass time.
Yeah.
And just get under our britches.
Fail kids. Keep them from their first choice schools.
I mean, shit, I would have dropped out had it not been for...
That's so hard.
Last question.
Okay.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Everybody was wrong, and we made a mistake.
Amazing.
I didn't even have to think about that.
Great answer. You've thought about that.
You were perfect, and everyone would like to apologize.
Awesome. One of the best answers we've had.
Thank you.
Eliza Schlesinger is her name. She's a triple threat. No, you're more than that. How do...
I'm going to name my threats?
Yeah.
No.
June 23rd. I don't know when this will go out, but it'll go out shortly before the movie or maybe after. That'll be up to your team.
Okay. Thanks.
But we'll time it right because I feel like this was a great chat, but a lot of good stuff about the movie, which I think is imperative.
This was a great interview. You are such a lovely interviewer, and thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for actually supporting me. I think it's rare in Hollywood, to have your friends that actually can like come through and like do something. So I do appreciate you having me. Every view counts.
I love it.
Thank you.
It does. And let's not skip over your sweatshirt real quick. The Magic Mike live show in Vegas. Did you go to it? When you walked in, I wanted to open with that.
Okay. Here's what happened.
Yeah.
A couple specials ago, I had a joke about Channing Tatum. I think I say something like, talking about how hot he is. I'm like, Channing Tatum, stick of butter. And then I called it back in another special.
By the way, he's with my girl Sandy B right now in the Dominican Republic.
I know exactly where they're.
Yeah.
And one day, it's actually in my highlights on my Instagram. Actually, should I pull it up?
The picture they just posted or posted?
No, none of them. Just us. Me. Him. I hope I get service in here. Of course I don't. Do you have service?
Yeah. What do you want?
Just go to my Instagram.
Is there a picture of you two?
Nope. It's better.
I pulled up his Instagram. Just like, oh, I don't follow him. Should I follow him?
No, you just have to go to me.
Oh.
Go to my page.
Okay. What am I pulling up?
And go to the highlights and just scroll all the way. You'll see one that says Channing Tatum DM. Or maybe it'll... Okay. So I have him... two jokes in my special just because like he's just like a hot dude. And it's a great reference for a hot dude. I don't... That's okay. So here...
That is real. Holy shit.
I can't believe Channing Tatum watched my special. He watched another millennial, which means seen Confirmed Kills where I talk about Channing Tatum's stick of butter? Oh my god! Oh my god! The only other time I felt like this is
And then
that's incredible.
So he wrote me like just a very sweet, and he was just like, oh, it's like he referencing whatever it was that I said. And then I called my team and he's like, I'm a fan or something. And then we got to meet. We took a general meeting. This is how long, because Blanche is there.
Holy shit.
And he was so nice. And I met his team or whatever. And we like stayed in touch. And I went to go play Vegas, and I reached out to the people on set. I was like, I really enjoyed the movie and I'd love to go see Magic Mike. And so they hooked it up.
Big time.
And I bought the sweatshirt and the sweatpants and the shorts, and I took a group of friends. I made friends with this girl named Chelsea, who's like the MC of it.
Cool.
And she was super cool. It's actually a very like empowering show. It's not greasy. It's not
cool.
It's a lot of fun.
All right.
And the dancers are so hot. And so they have been closed for because of COVID. And I'm going to go see it when I go play The Mirage in Whoa. August 28th and 29th. I'm going to go see Magic Mike for the early show.
Wow.
I'm a fan.
That's awesome.
It's a good show.
What a crazy thing that he spun that off from the movie too, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's talk about double branding.
I mean, that's one of the moves they do. Touch is gold. Yeah, double branding.
Double brand.
I got lap dance. It was great.
Was it great?
It was cool because they're all very talented. It's not just like dudes.
Not just a giant wiener on your lap.
Which is fine. Actually, yeah. That's gross. If it's not one that you're having sex with, it's a little gross. They were all just really cool, and it's a really good show.
I love it.
Magic Mike, baby.
I'm going to go see it.
Yeah.
June 23rd, good on paper. And the tour is out and posted at eliza.com.
That's it.
You're just hitting the road again and just, I mean, everywhere.
Gotta make up.
Is it exciting?
I love it.
Yeah. You're going to crush it.
Thank you.
Your fans are bonkers. That was also cool seeing just all the videos at the beginning of the film of like you're setting up that you're a successful comic.
Can I tell you something? Thank you. We used just footage from my phone.
I know you did.
And then there's one scene in the green room of the belly room. We had to like go and shoot our own footage on my phone just to get that B-roll.
Yeah.
There's just some comic in there. And I was like, hey, man, just pretend that we're talking and then sign this release. I don't know that guy.
Amazing.
So it's a combo of footage I had and then footage we shot.
Yeah. Your fans are arguably some of the best in
Thank
comedy.
You. They are the best.
Because the gifts and the costumes, I mean, but that's also you creating all this stuff for them to get behind. But that's also then the connection they feel to you and wanting to do it. It's like, man, that's a dream. I, you know, not that you get into it to have fans come like support you in that way where they're dressing up and making
Wouldn't have guessed.
Things out yeah. of your jokes. Because you're not writing the jokes being like, this would be a good gift
Correct.
For them to give me based on this line.
Right.
And then it happens. Crazy.
It's just an example of once you create art, it's no longer yours. Like this movie, whatever my intention was, and I can try to control a narrative, like whatever it becomes.
Oh, get ready for all the messages of people being like,
oh, yes.
How much they've connected. Like, that's what's kind of cool about it.
Yeah.
You're going to get a lot of people that are like, man, I got closure from something, or I'm in this currently and you're shining a light on it.
Yeah.
Or I also am dating a dentist with big teeth and like that's just a red flag that I wasn't focusing on and now it is.
Now it's over. Yeah. It's cool. It's cool. Thank you so much for having me.
I love you. You're the best.
I love you.
Okay.